Production. Recorded live.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Talking Twilight Zone.
What you're about, gentlemen, is a series called The Twilight Zone. We think it's a rather special kind of series. Essentially, people watch television to get entertained. And the keynote of this series, the thing we're concerned with, the thing we're aiming for, the thing we're working toward is entertainment. This is a series for the storyteller, because it's our thinking that an audience will always sit still and listen and watch a well-told story. All I can tell you is that we think The Twilight Zone is pretty unique. We think it'll be much talked about, and we think it'll also be enjoyed. We think it's the kind of a show that will put people on the edge of their seats.
Of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination, and you're invited along. We'll be talking Twilight Zone.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Talking Twilight Zone. I'm your host, Lynn, and I am here with... Thank you very much. I am here with my co-host, Bobby, and Robert, and Dave, and as always, our loyal listener and contributor, Rick Wall, is here. Welcome, guys.
Hey, yeah.
Hello.
Glad you're here. Well, this is our last. Thank you very much. This is our last Talking Twilight Zone show. And
Lynn.
Sadly, this is it. This is the last one. And I'm going to miss it. I mean, in a way, it's. It'd be kind of nice to get a little vacation from the show, from doing it every 2 weeks, but I'm still going to miss it. And it's been great. It's been 6 years, six years from 2009 till now, a little over 6 years. And
longer than the Twilight Zone ran.
That's right. that's true, yeah. That was 5 years, yeah. But it's been great. I mean, we've had a wonderful time. We've had some great shows, some wonderful discussions, and we've had a lot of laughs. And I've loved it. And it's because of the people that I'm doing it with, and because of the listeners and the contributors, and it's just been terrific. So, you know, I'm going to miss it. But with that said, we will get into our last show. And this show is going to basically, it's not that we're done talking about all the episodes, and the final show, we have decided that everyone is going to give their top 10 favorite Twilight Zone episodes and their top 5 worst Twilight Zone episodes. So we're going to do something a little different this week. I'm going to start it with Bobby, and then Robert, and then Dave, then Rick, and I'm going to go last. So, Bobby, take it away.
Also, you forgot to mention best actor and best actress.
Oh, best actor and actress. Yes. that will go too. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. I asked Lynn to let me go first today, not only because it's our last show, but because this whole thing started with me. I do have to own up to the fact that I started this. Not 6 years ago, but almost 10 years ago, back on November 8th, 2005, when I had the colossal gall to think that I actually belonged on internet radio and started a program called Talking Fugitive on KSAV Radio. That program ran for 3.5 years until April 21st, 2009, for a total of 78 shows. And then just 1 month later, on May the 19th, 2009, it turned into Talking Twilight Zone and has run for another 6 years, and incredibly, about 150 shows. So, the truth be known, without the first program, there never would have been this program. You can be sure of that. And so here we are at the last program, but it's special for me because not only is this the last Talking Twilight Zone program, but it's going to end my participation in internet radio programs. Because after nearly a decade and over 225 radio programs between the two, it's time for me to retire from this. And I have no intention of moving on to any other radio shows in the future. If David Letterman can retire this month on May the 20th after 22 years on late night and 32 years altogether between his two shows on NBC and CBS, and Jon Stewart can retire in August from The Daily Show after 16 years, then I can and should get out of this too. In fact, both of them emailed me last week and told me to get out of here now before it's too late. When I started this back in 2005, I figured it would last a week or two at the most. So it's probably a good thing I did not know it would run for nearly a decade, or I doubt that I would ever have done it. It's been a long and arduous task. It's very difficult to do this for that number of years and to be committed to that, whether it's every week or every other week. And it's just amazing to me to look back and realize that it's now in the hundreds. I have no idea that even happened. But I do know one thing. I know how Rod Serling felt at the end of The Twilight Zone because he was totally burned out by that time, and that's how I feel. I feel like I've said everything I could possibly say about both of those shows, and there's just nothing left to say. So this will do it for me. I think I've said more than I ever dreamed I would in a million years. Now, having said that, we do have this one last show to do, which is just an offshoot of what we already did at our Twilight Zone group when I asked people to pick their top 10 best episodes from the series and their top 5 or bottom 5 worst and the best actor and best actress of the series. Now, since this is my last time to mouth off, I don't want to end with talking negatively. So I'll start with in my opinion, is the 5 worst episodes of the series. And that's very difficult to pick because there are a lot of them. In my opinion, for a show like this, there's too many bad episodes. And we just suffered through season 5, which was an absolute nightmare, with a few exceptions. So I look back at the very worst episodes, the ones that made me cringe. And although it's a tough call, I would have to say that The Bard, the last hour-long episode of season four, is the worst episode of the series. It just is absolutely horrifying. And everybody was in agreement back then when we did it, both on the board and on the show. I never gave it a number rating. I gave it an E for excruciating, because that's what it is. Beyond that, right under that is Lynn's favorite episode, Come Wonder With Me. Serling couldn't do comedy, so he decided to do a musical, and it turned out even worse. It's absolutely unwatchable. Incredibly bad. Beyond that, number three, and the worst, would be The Encounter. Not just bad, not just boring, but offensive. So bad, so offensive, that nobody's allowed to show it on TV anymore, sparing everybody the opportunity of having to sit through it again. Number four on my list is The Fear that we recently did. The Fear at the end of the series, or a couple weeks before the end of the series, is not only stupid, but it's insulting to viewers. I mean, you watch this series all along, and you're really scared by a lot of stories, and you get into it, and now they do this story telling you that there's really nothing to fear after all. I mean, this story is just incredible. I can't even imagine why anybody would put that in there. And my fifth one was really a guilty pleasure for me, and that was Black Leather Jackets. I think it's the funniest episode of the entire series. It's so incredibly stupid that you almost have to laugh at it. So even though it's bad, it's at least funny in a way. So those are my worst five episodes, but they're not the only ones. There are a lot of other ones, too. I would say about 90% of season five is horrible. And then there are other all-star horrors like The Chaser, Once Upon a Time, Mr. Beavis, Sounds and Silences, and Cavender is Coming. Among all of the supposedly funny Twilight Zone episodes, that may be the worst, because it's actually got Carol Burnett in it, one of the funniest women in TV history next to Lucy, and still couldn't manage to get a laugh out of it at all. So Cavender is Coming is one of those, it's kind of, you look at that and you wonder why anybody would try to put comedy in this series. Now, as for my 10 best, it's very difficult for me to pick 1 and 2, so I decided on the board to do 1A and 1B, because I can't separate these two. I think, at least for me, you have to give Time Enough at Last first place for a lot of reasons, especially because it still resonates after over five decades. It's just a 24-minute story. And yet there's something special enough about it that people still talk about it. At the Internet Movie Database, Time Enough at Last gets a 9.1 rating out of 10, and The Godfather gets a 9.2 rating. So a TV episode from The Twilight Zone sitting right next to The Godfather should tell you something about it. My 1B choice, or my second choice, and just only a tenth of an inch behind that, is Eye of the Beholder, because Eye of the Beholder looks like no other episode, not only of The Twilight Zone, but of anything I've ever seen on TV. And it's a remarkable story with a surprise ending that should never have been a surprise, but is anyway. It turns everything upside down, and it says everything about what it's like to live in a world where you're never good enough, you're never pretty enough or tall enough or thin enough or anything to fit in. It's just so unusual. If I saw it on TV today, I think I'd fall right out of my chair. I wouldn't believe it. I'll never forget that. Number three on my list would be The Invaders, an amazing story with an amazing performance by Agnes Moorehead, the kind of science fiction story that's not science fiction. I mean, it shows you how much you could do in the early days of TV without computer-generated images. Here's a woman battling little silly-looking wind-up robot toys, and yet it is an incredible episode. At the Internet Movie Database, a lot of people who were very young and who weren't around back then and have seen this since then are very critical of it. They say it's boring and stupid and it's irritating and it's got no special effects, and they just don't get it at all. They don't understand. And what I like about it is that it really has nothing except her, and that's more than enough. My fourth best episode is The Hitchhiker, a really, really scary story. When you talk about scary stories in the Twilight Zone, you have to go far to beat that one. And it means a lot to me because in the 70s and 80s, I did a lot of traveling up and down the East Coast and even into Canada, and I found myself a lot of times on deserted roads in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, early in the morning, with nobody around and no other cars. And in the days before there were cell phones, if you broke down anywhere and you weren't near a payphone, you were out of luck. It's a different world today. And a great performance by Inger Stevens, who really not only looks scared in the episode, but acts scared. I mean, that's a very, very scary story. And that goes without saying. Number five is Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, another amazing story because it's just like the invaders. It shouldn't be as scary as it is because there are no special effects, and here's what is obviously just some sort of stuntman in a silly-looking furry suit, except that he's out on the wing of an airplane, and William Shatner, and what I think is one of his best performances of his career, actually being subdued for most of the episode, a rare event for him. So everybody loves Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. It's quite remarkable. Number six, I picked Living Doll mainly because I've always been a fan of Telly Savalas. Nobody could do evil quite like he could. And it's totally over the top. With a child too cute to be true and a stepfather too horrible to be true. And it really is frightening, and it has a great, great ending. Number seven, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. This episode really freaked me out when I was about 12 years old because where I lived at the time, I always got along well with everybody in my neighborhood. There were other kids there. I went over their houses, I ate in their houses, I knew their parents. Everything was fine, and I could never dream that neighbors could turn against each other until I saw this story and how little it would take to do that. This episode is important even today, and especially this week, when you realize what has happened in my old hometown with people rioting and turning against each other in the streets. The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street is a real story. It's the only science fiction part of it is the aliens who are watching Earthlings destroy each other. That, I think, is an incredibly memorable episode and a lesson to be learned even today, 50 years later. Number eight, To Serve Man. For me, The Twilight Zone was always at its best when it turned everything upside down and made you think the way you don't normally think. I mean, everybody loves to eat. And we don't bother at all to worry about the fact that we raise living creatures, animals, and then we simply kill them and eat them. That's just fine because we're hungry. And we're at the top of the food chain on this planet. But what happens if we're at the bottom of the food chain? You don't see things the same way. And in To Serve Man, we find ourselves on the plate instead of the other way around. That's incredibly memorable. People Are Alike All Over is my ninth choice because that's another story where when I was a kid, my father used to take me to the zoo all the time. I loved going there. But even back then, I was disturbed by the fact that the animals, I wondered how the animals felt about being in cages and being behind glass with people gawking at them all day. They weren't in their natural environment. And I just, even as a little kid, I wondered, you know, they didn't look all that happy, lions and tigers pacing back and forth and gorillas sitting there eating bananas and looking miserable. And People Are Alike All Over is, again, like To Serve Man. It turns us on our head and says to us, how would you like it if you were in a cage and couldn't get out and people were looking at you all the time? And, of course, it also has Susan Oliver in it, and that's reason enough to put it in my top 10. My tenth, my last story is Stop Over in a Quiet Town. Not because it's the greatest episode in the world, but because it's at the end of the series when they've got nothing left to give. And out of nowhere comes a really good story, and it's very Twilight Zone-ish, with people, very ordinary people, being stuck in extraordinary circumstances and not being able to get out, which was a hallmark of the series all along. I would have liked to have put The Shelter in there, but The Shelter is really just a reworking of Maple Street with neighbors turning on each other in a bad situation. So I put Stopover in there. Now, that's my top 10, but there are many, many other episodes that deserve recognition. I'm not going to go through them all. Everybody knows what they are. But for me, if you told me that I could only watch 10 episodes in a marathon, these are the 10 I would probably choose, although I would hate to miss those other ones as well. Now, I also asked people to pick their best actor and best actress of the series, and I think it's impossible to not pick Burgess Meredith for Time Enough at Last, because he does a remarkable job. He's playing a character who's really very annoying, very irritable, and very irritating. I mean, he's kind of nerdy, and all he wants to do is read. And I don't really want to be anywhere around him. And if I was working in a bank with him, I wouldn't want to be with him either. And he's got 24 minutes to make us feel sorry for him. And he does that. By the end of the episode, he's crying, and so are we. It's really a terrible tragedy. It's a fantastic performance, I think. It's just absolutely remarkable. My runner-up behind him is William Shatner for Nightmare 20,000 Feet, because Shatner is not exactly known for being subdued, and he does a great job in just holding it all in until the very end, and it's extremely memorable. Behind him, I would put Telly Savalas for Living Doll. Nobody did bad like Telly Savalas, even when he was in other movies and TV series. He still could be very, very evil. As far as best actress is concerned, it's easily Agnes Moorehead, who just does something with the story with nothing. She's playing against herself. She can't say anything. All she can do is look terrified over these silly-looking little toys that are coming to attack her. I think it's absolutely an amazing. She should have won an Emmy Award for it. It's absolutely remarkable to watch her do what she does there. And right behind her, I would put, like I already said, I would put Inger Stevens for The Hitchhiker. She really, really telegraphs being alone and being stalked and pursued and being scared to death. She really does. Now, of course, Inger Stevens ended up very badly. She committed suicide some years later, so that may have been part of her ability to show great fear. She was a very troubled young woman all of her life. So those are my favorite episodes. There are a lot of other ones. I regret that I've said this many times. I think if you could have taken Living Doll and Nightmare 20,000 Feet out of Season 5 and put it in Season 3 to end the series really should have ended at the end of Season 3. And indeed, it was canceled at the end of Season 3. And Jim Aubrey, who ran CBS at that time, told people he was sick of The Twilight Zone and he wanted it off the air. And they canceled it, and then they needed an hour-long show. One of their hour-long shows failed, and so they went to Rod Serling and said, if you make it an hour, you can come back. What a terrible decision that was, and then we had Season 5. So it's, look, I think The Twilight Zone is one of the greatest TV series of all time, and television needed it in its early days, but it's unfortunate that it fell apart so badly at the end. I think, you need to know when you've had enough and when you don't have anything left to give anymore. So it's a shame. You know, if I talked to anybody who never heard of it and I told them I wanted them to watch it, I would say watch those first three seasons before you get into what comes later, because that's where it's all at. So those are my favorites, and I am played out. I have nothing left to say except that I want to thank everybody on this show for helping out. At the very beginning, there were other people on this show helping me out. I could never have done it myself, that's for sure. And I appreciate everything everybody's done, Robert, with all of the music he's added, including the music today, which I asked him to add to the beginning, and the end of the show, and Lynn to host the show, and all the people along the way, and Dave and Rick and everybody else. So thanks for doing all of this, and if you plan to do another show someday, I'll listen to it, but I sure as hell won't be on it because I've had it. Lynn, that's it for me.
Okay. Robert, over to you.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. Yeah, I just wanted to say before I start, too, I want to thank everybody. To really be committed to something like this takes a lot of time and effort, but it's something that I always look forward to every couple of weeks to get together. And, me and my wife have been out to visit Lynn and Bobby, so we got to meet them personally. So we kind of got a close bond together, and I just want to say I have really enjoyed being on this show for, about 5 years, I think. 4.5, 5 years for me.
Because,
But Robert's been on about 5.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. But, yeah.
By 10 years.
But I do want to thank you guys. I mean, you guys are, the best friends of ours, and it was a pleasure to meet both of you. And
Well, we feel the same way.
Very much enjoyed the time on here, and also for Dave and for Rick Wall, too. I appreciate you guys coming on, as much time as you could, to use up your time to join us and to review these episodes with us. I want to especially thank you guys, and also for Felix from Jersey. Thank him, too, coming in to text when he was able to make it. So I wanted to get all that stuff out of the way before I get started here. I think I'm going to go the same way with Bobby, and I'm going to start with the 5 worst just to get them out of the way, because it's almost like
scraping the bottom of the barrel
with some of these 5 worst. And the I'm going to go 5-1. The 5th one is Sounds and Silences.
Mm.
That is the worst one. Very annoying. The guy, he could be a tie with the guy from Mind and Matter. That's how annoying he
John
was.
MacGyver and Shelley Berman.
I hate Shelley Berman.
Yeah, me
passion.
Too.
That was terrible. But, yeah. Sounds and Silences. Number 4. Kevin Dare is Coming is another one. Even if it wasn't Carol Banana, you put Lucille Ball in there, I don't think she could have even saved this of an episode. It was very disappointing. And just to know the fact that this could have been a spinoff from the Twilight Zone, that's basically what the episode was a pilot for a series they were going to try to spin off, and I guess the ratings wasn't there for it. Who can blame people for not really enjoying that? It was very much like It's a Wonderful Life, only worse. So, 4. Number 3, King 9 Will Not Return. Man, if you like desert pictures, and just imagine being in a desert and, terrible 22 minutes of cellulite on that episode. So that was my 3rd one. Of course, we talked about Shelley Berman. What a terrible person. I mean, maybe in real life he wasn't that. Maybe he was a comedian. Maybe he was pretty good. Maybe like a Shecky Green type person.
He wasn't funny, trust me.
The Mind and the Matter. Oh, that's terrible. Like I said, and as Dave mentioned a couple of times on my behalf, it's the element of the story. I like the whole science fiction. The concept is what I was trying to get across. I like the concept of just the wrong actor, and it just made it terrible. And, of course, my number one worst terrible one is The Bard.
Thank you.
George Washington! Thomas Jefferson, Pocahontas. Oh, my. That was another waste. And I felt sorry for Burt Reynolds making an appearance in that. It's like, okay, what's my reason for being in this role here.
What's my motivation?
Yeah. I think Rick Wall, his motivation was not to be there. So.
You see this little paper with numbers on it? You want to get it? That's your motivation.
You go from one X by the door over to the other X. So, yeah, definitely the worst out of that. And an unhonorable mention is the encounter. Man, I'm glad that was left out of syndication because that was this.
Me too. It's
sad for George Takei, you know, to make an appearance in there. Oh, my. It was just,
yeah.
It was terrible. Okay. Top 10. Number 10. Now, this is, I think a lot of these is going by taste more than anything. If a certain one isn't in my top 10, it's not because I didn't like it or I hated it or anything. It's just you got so many to choose from to put in a top 10.
That's the problem. You have so many to choose from, and it's all what you like in a matter of opinion, yeah.
Yeah, maybe like top 20 or 25.
You know,
like, might appear in there, but, you know, top 10, you're kind of squeezing things in. And it was very difficult. I had to move things around, change things around, and, you know, before I came up with the final 10. But number 10, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. William Shatner, of course, William Shatner. He loves to act that way. Monster outside window. I think he was great in that episode, and just showing the fear of the monkey monster outside the window. It was
monkey
definitely. Well, that's true. Did he look like a furry monkey monster or whatever?
Guy in like a sheepskin pajamas.
I mean, that's one of my favorites. Number 9, A Nice Place to Visit. I enjoy Sebastian Cabot as Pip. I thought he was excellent. I have this on my iPod, so once in a while I bring it up. I do have some Twilight Zones on my iPod, so I do bring them up and watch them, and one of them is A Nice Place to Visit. The interesting part, and I don't think I don't know if anybody mentioned it when we reviewed it back in season one, was when he wants to check his records, Valentine, and wants to, you know, see why did he thinks at the time he's in heaven, you know, did I do something nice or something happened to me here? He looks into the room, he tells the dolls he'll be right back. Then he makes a weird look on his face when he looks inside the bedroom. Now, you don't know what that weird look was. Did the women reveal themselves to be demons? Something interesting was going on? Did they all disappear and weren't there anymore? It is, he had that look, and, you know, I noticed that as I rewatch it, thinking, you know, what could have been that, you know, he had.
I never noticed that. I have to look at that again now.
Yeah, because when he goes to the doorway to tell the dolls he's going to be right back, he kind of gives a weird look, and he turns back and looks back into the bedroom, and then he kind of like shrugs his, you know, arms, and then he walks
off. Oh, wow, I got to look at that again. That's cool. I never noticed that. I'll check that out.
I was wondering about that, too. I thought that was kind of cool. Number 8, Living Doll. Definitely agree with Bobby with Talis Savalas. Wonderful actor. Was in the Kojak series, and an interesting thing about Telly Savalas was he was a smoker as well. And in order to give up smoking, he did lollipops to try to quit smoking. And I guess the producers of Kojak loved it so much that they incorporated it into the series. So that's why Telly Savalas is always licking the lollipop.
Another little tidbit I didn't know. I'm learning so much here today.
Yeah, he was trying to quit smoking, and so he started sucking on
lollipop. Who loves you, baby?
Who loves you, baby, yeah. I never knew that. That's great.
He also was in some horror movies. He's played in a Mexican Pancho Villa type roles and stuff like that. I mean, very versatile actor. you know, has done many things. I've always enjoyed his acting. I always enjoyed Toast of Ours, especially in Her Majesty's Secret Service, where he played, what's the character who usually pops up?
Oh, I forget. I know you're talking about him. I just
Donna Blofeld played him. Who?
Blofeld?
Yeah, Blofeld. Thank you. Yeah.
Blofeld? Is that right? No, that wasn't who I was thinking of, but I guess you're right.
Yeah, he played Blofeld. And, I mean, any role he did was great. Number 7-2. Very much the start for, early start for Bronson and Elizabeth Montgomery. And I like the chemistry between the two. Very much reminds me of apocalyptic movies in the future, Mad Max and other ones per se. Here again, we talked about Agnes Moorehead not saying anything. The same thing with Elizabeth Montgomery until the very end where she does say a word, but yeah.
Procrastinating.
Mm-hmm. But by the way, I think early in the week on MeTV Thriller, they've been running that with Boris Karloff as the host.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was an episode on there with Elizabeth Montgomery and Tom Poston.
No kidding.
I thought it was so interesting and to see her, and she had dark hair in this episode.
And she did in the Twilight Zone one, too.
Mm-hmm. So I guess she must have switched to blonde when she went to Bewitched. But I like the way two is set up, the two factions in the city, and also the jelly chicken that we so much enjoy.
The canned chicken. No. That's so disgusting.
Dave's favorite, jelly chicken.
The jelly chicken.
Number 6, To Serve Man. Very much reminds me of another future series called V. And Mark Singer, excellent actor in V. The scene I love in V is where he's riding a white horse and a shuttle is shooting at him as he's shooting back at the shuttle with his phaser gun. So Serve Man very much reminds me of that. And it's also the same premise via his To Serve Man. But very much the Kanemets, a well-thought-out alien. Richard Kiel, wonderful in that role. He probably played all the Kanemets, to be honest about it, to save money. Who knows? A little too happy at the end when we find out, the cookbook situation. And he don't make too much of an effort to try to get off that ship before the other caravan puts the door up, holds his arms up like he was Rocky and won a major fight or something like that. But that's another one I got on my iPod, too, is To Serve Man. So once in a while, I check that out as well. Number 5, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. Very much psychological situation, sets up for other psychological type movies later on, invasion situation, running tests on people. Very much reminds me of a series called Fringe, where later on in the season we Walter and Peter and Olivia and all them. By the way, I've been rewatching Fringe right now. I just got done rewatching season 4, but that one kind of reminds me of the situation that happens with the observers later on in the series 5 or season 5 as well. So definitely one of my favorite. Number 4, another one I got on my iPod, Night Sun. Definitely I like the...
Which one? I'm sorry, which one?
The Midnight Sun.
Oh, Midnight Sun, yeah.
Yeah, the artist and the paintings to where, we get the perception of the sun, the earth heading the sun. Future movies we get, like, some disaster on earth happens and see how the people deal with it. And then we get the twist at the end. So very, very much one of my favorites. Number 3, Time Enough at Last, of course. Burgess Meredith. Wonderful actor. Come on, rock! Women makes you weak. It's weak.
Women weaken legs. Women weaken legs.
But even the ones that weren't good that Burgess Meredith was in, he still was a very good actor. I always enjoy him. The disaster concept again with him trying to, you know, survive and what happens to him at the end where, you know, feels like, you know, a joke's been played on him and, you know, cruel joke at that. So very much number three on my list. Number two, It's a Good Life. MeTV's been running the ad for Twilight Zone, and they have
Billy Mumy, yeah.
Yeah, where he says, "You're a bad boy."
I love that ad, yeah.
Yeah. So he has him when he's young saying, "You're a very bad man," and then he turns around and he says, "You're a very bad boy." So, yeah. I mean, the is in 1985, I think, isn't it? Or the 2001, I can't remember.
Which one? What, the new, the remake? Remake,
yeah.
Was in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, it was a continuation, but...
Continuation.
Very much enjoyed him in that role as the little boy that if you don't behave, you end up in the cornfield. So, And, of course, my number one is The Invaders. Very much enjoyed Agnes Moorehead's portrayal as an old woman. I guess, was she kind of mute or deaf in there? So you could understand why. But just the play of silence pretty much through the whole episode where you just have the music to invoke the episode. Very much like Buffy's Hush in season four. You know, trying to get by with your reactions, your facial movements, the way you act. It's very hard to do something like that. And I think Agnes Moorehead did a terrific job in that role. So I would consider that as my number one. I also have that on my iPod and also Good Lie, Time Enough to Last. So it's nice to have it where you can refer back to them down the road. So,
yeah.
Top 10. Top actor, of course, is Burgess Meredith. Henry Bemis, Time Enough at Last. One of the great actors. There's many great actors in the Twilight Zone, but I think Burgess stands out as, you know, one of the best. And my runner-up, of course, William Shatner, Bob Wilson, and Nightmare 20 Feet. As I said earlier, a great portrayal of just a person, you know, just losing it again, on the edge situation. Actress-wise, Agnes Moorehead as the old woman in The Invaders. I agree with that. I think, you know, that was a top-notch performance. I don't understand why people think it was boring and dull and terrible, and especially the, again, twist at the end of where the aliens are from. Kind of a nice touch at the end with that. And runner-up, kind of a dual runner-up with Maxine Stewart and Donna Douglas as Janet Tyler in The Eye of the Beholder. It's hard to try to act when you can't see the person's face, and the only thing that is moving is the bandages as that person talks. So just not only just that, but also Donna Douglas' fear after it's revealed what she looks like. The operation didn't work. The aliens are pig people type
right.
creatures. So, very much, I think that was a great job with that. So,
no, it wasn't her voice, Dave. Not till the end, till at the very end. It was her voice. It was, oh my God, I forget. Begins with an M. Meredith, no? Do you remember, Robert?
What on the...
Yeah, who was Janet's voice through the episode?
I thought it was Maxine Stewart was doing the voice.
Maxine, I knew it was Ned.
So Shad performance, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't on until the very end.
And to finish up, I added something that I thought we were going to do, but I guess we did, was worst seasons. Number 5, season 4, the ultimate worst, terrible. The only thing I liked was Printer's Devil, to be honest.
Yeah,
season
good.
4. 4, season 5. Number 3, season 2. Number 2, season 1. And then number 1 was season 3. I felt season 3 was where they finally were going at full steam. They finally were clicking on all cylinders, so to say. One of the best seasons for me. So that's it. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Dave.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say that I've enjoyed being on Talking Twilight. Thanks for putting up with some of my comments during the course of it. Don't mean to be contentious. I do know that I've been a little bit of a champion of some of the episodes that may have been seen as lost causes by many, and that's not to say that I thought they were good episodes at all, but I always tried to think of them in terms of what else was on the TV at the time and how they were still event viewing for their time. They were the sort of program that when they were going out, you know, people made the effort to get there. Why they couldn't afford more money on the series, I don't know, because it must have been drawing in the advertisers. Certainly well written. The prologues at the beginning, the epilogues, bookended the story so well. And often, in fact, there's been a couple of episodes where the sort of that little part of it has almost been the best element of a particular week's story. And as Robert kindly said as well just there, that it is often that you can get something from an episode simply because it appeals to a particular genre, a particular element of science fiction, whether it's to do with the Cold War and the fear of nuclear war, or whether it's to do with man's pomposity thinking the most important thing in the world, or what have you. So although there were some quite poor episodes, and I'll go with the line of everybody else, I think I'll go with the poorest first. I think the biggest criticism I'll say about the poor ones was their forgettability. They sort of merge into a gel, a sort of gloop of not very good episodes. And of course that gloop pooled a little bit heavily on certain series, as Robert said, with Series 5. And although I was a strong defender of Series 5 in individual episodes, I totally acknowledged that, the glory days were gone. And it was just, let's get to the end of the week. So with that sort of proviso and I should just say, and I'm sure, Lynn, you've already paid acknowledgement to those people that come in the call that don't necessarily speak, some that do sometimes, Felix, and sometimes they don't or whatever, quite a few of them would wave a flag for a particular episode that maybe went against the general comments of the group, and I found it difficult to go down below the 2 out of 5 rating, but the thing is that you almost feel as though the scale of 0 to 5 wasn't big enough to highlight really the disparity between some absolutely really groundbreaking stories and other ones where you felt as though they were just treading water, and that was being perhaps kind to them. So we almost could have done with the 10-point system, although I do know that you did allow people to give half ratings, and often that's what happened. People would give, to give the story 1.5 points and another one for some actor's contribution. So with that,
or like Bobby, letter ratings there, Dave.
Right. let me go. I named my bottom 5 and then realized I'd named them in the wrong order, because in the bottom five, you should work upwards from the best to the worst, not work. If you know what I mean, you go in the reverse order as well. So, I put it, I think at number five of the worst was A Most Unusual Camera, because I thought it was a silly story in many ways. At four, I put Black Leather Jackets, and I put it low because I think that should have been a good story. It could have been a good story. They were obviously hoping to capture, you know, the young Wild Ones element, the Marlon Brando time. I'm not too sure of my dates whether Marlon Brando was before or after this timeline, but you know what I mean. The definite, the men clad in black and their berets and their motorbikes. That should have really been an on-song episode. It should really have done it. Three, five characters in search of an exit. That seemed a very ho-hum. That was almost in my bottom ones, because it was, a non-story, I suppose, I think, the thing. At number two, I put, and one and two are a bit interchangeable, I put The Bard, probably because it was the longer one, and it just went on too long. And actually, I put my worst episode, because I couldn't make sense of it, really, and that was Dust. That was the one where they were hanging somebody and the bloke just picked up some dust and put it in a bag and said that was a magic charm or something.
It was pretty bad.
It seemed very, very lazy writing to me, that really did. So my top 10, and I've got a little grouping just below 10. In actual fact, It's a Good Life that Robert mentioned. I put it at number 11 along with... things like The After Hours, the Penny for Your Thoughts, A Game of Pool, and so on. But I think After Hours I put at 10, with Nightmare at 20,000 Feet at 9, Printer's Devil at 8, I Sing the Body Electric at 7, To Serve Man at 6, The Obsolete Man at 5, Burgess Meredith 1, of course, A Stop at Willoughby as 4. I wasn't quite sure about the ending of that. I'm not sure whether we needed to see that body at the ending. Spoilers. I think they could have ended that slightly better, but it was a good story. 3, Eye of the Beholder. Very dark, but very science fiction in it. It was one of the most science fiction ones. 2, Time Enough at Last. And at 1, I put The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. And I think that was all because in the 1960s, there was this Cold War and this fear of, you know, people actually were building nuclear basements or whatever. And I read quite a few books about that time in the science fiction world. Highline books about, you know, people's panic about what the future held, and really, I don't think people watching that may get the sense of it triggered a nerve. I think when it went out, it triggered a nerve with the viewers. People were really quite paranoid. Well, paranoid is not the right word, because it was almost a real fear that you know. A little bit like it was about 10 years ago, there were all these survivalists and these people talking about survivalists and storing food for a couple of years and learning how to, you know, cope in an apocalyptic world, again, Robert said. But I think then it was really clear. It was picked out again in things like Quantum Leap. They did an episode that picked up on that fear.
Yeah, there's some way that jelly chicken there, Dave, huh?
Oh, yeah. Two. I think that might have been my 11th one. I think that was just, I didn't mention that. I knew I missed one out between 11 and 9 for A Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. Actors, I found that a difficult one, and certainly difficult to put them in order. You see, for instance, I'm going to upset Lynn now and Robert, because... although I didn't think King's Nine that we'll not say was a good story. I do like Robert Cummings as an actor. So I quite liked him. I like John Carradine as an actor. Thought he was excellent. There's another actor that I don't think Lynn particularly likes, but he was in Passage for a Trumpet, and that's John Anderson. He played Gabriel, and he was also the pilot of the air.
Oh, I like John Anderson.
And he was also in the one where they were flying the aeroplane, and the you know the airport disappeared.
The flight of Odyssey, '33 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought he had gravitas. I thought he was really good. Lee Marvin, Steele, was it the one where he had the robot one?
Mm-hmm.
Thought his acting was really good, and William Shatner and Burgess Meredith, those two topping the list. So I might have cheated there. I might have got six names in, but I suppose that's probably because I'm putting William Shatner and Burgess Meredith at the top, which is amazing, really, because I actually prefer William Shatner's acting in the Nick of Time episode. I think he was better in that, really, than Nightmare 27. But I didn't like the story. I didn't like that. I mean, you know, I didn't like the actual fortune teller Nicky thing. I didn't like that. But I thought William Shatner, as the concerned husband and the worried man, portrayed that very well. For the acting honours with the ladies, I agree, although brief, Elizabeth Montgomery in two. I've got Anne Francis for in After Hours. That was the doll one where she thinks she's a human. She's lost in the store. I put in Patricia Breslin again for In the Nick of Time. Gladys Cooper, Passage for Lady Anne. And I think topping that, I've got Agnes Moorehead. This is getting very predictable. I'm very predictable. I'm getting upset with myself. So basically, if my top 10 favourite episodes, top 10 actors, five actors and top female, I've actually gone with the main grouping, and that may not have been reflected in my usual ongoing championing of poorer stories, weak stories, where I've probably tried to pick out some element that has perhaps saved or at least made an interest in the story. So I think I'm about done. Thank you very much for giving me the time, opportunity and platform to talk about one of my favourite classic sci-fi shows. Thanks,
well,
Lynn.
Thank you,
and Bobby.
Dave. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for all you've contributed. And Rick, let's hear from you, good buddy.
All right. Unlike Dave, if I offended or upset somebody, good.
Good for you.
Isn't that the idea of
the show?
To get people to think and feel and whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, I'm going to do slightly different. I'm going to go with my top 10 first so I don't forget them. Okay, number 10, Dead Man's Shoes. I just like it. I mean,
it's a good one,
you know,
actually. Good acting.
Yeah. You know, number 9, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. What more can I say?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Shatner. Number 8, Howling Man.
I love it, yeah.
Number 9.
No, 7.
7, I'm sorry. See, I'm getting confused already. Number 7, Obsolete Man. Number 6. Now, here it's getting kind of confusing because it depends on my mood and whatnot, but from here to number 1 always alternates. Number 6 is Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. excellent episode.
Mm-hmm.
And very true, even to the day. Maybe even more so today than it was years ago, because I remember, no matter what happened, at least where I used to live and when I was a kid, people would come over and be nice. You know, somebody got hit by a car, you know, we'd help them and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
the neighbors were always there for you.
Yeah, but now it's like people close their doors. You hardly see anybody on the streets anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You kids, get off my lawn now!
Yeah, really. you know, somebody doesn't like the dog you're walking. Like Robert just said, you know, Bobby just said, Robert just said. You know, but anyway, what number am I? Five, right?
Five.
Yep. All right. Number five, I have Disturbed Man. Okay. Sorry, I couldn't read my own writing at him there for a minute. Disturbed Man. Number four is Time Enough.
Mm.
Last. Number three is, I don't know why, I just happen to like it. I find it an interesting episode. Old Man in the Cave.
A lot of people like that one.
Number two is Two.
Jelly Chicken.
And number one is the
Drum Roll.
The Invaders.
Okay. Now, best actor and actress.
Best actor and actress. Actress, Moorhead.
Mm-hmm.
Actor, believe it or not, even though none of his stories made my top 10, personal top 10, I gotta go with Klugman.
With who?
Klugman. Yeah. I was considering put him higher, but yeah.
You know, each of the characters he played in each story are totally different. And that's what at least I look for in an actor. Can they play something different in a different story, in a different setting? And to me, he did.
I think Klugman was great. I have him third if, you know, we went further on. He was great in Quincy. I liked him better than that and then in The Odd Couple, to be honest about it.
Yeah, he could play drama. He could do comedy. He was very good. He's very versatile.
Yeah. and my five worst. Starting again at the fifth is Black Leather Jackets.
Yeah, it was missing a giant lobster. I think maybe that might have helped it. Giant lobster in it.
Mm. Fear is number four. Number three is, oh, God, another one I can't read my own writing on. crap. Oh, Sounds and Silences.
Mm.
Too much noise. Noise, noise, noise.
Yes. Number two is, I always forget the title of it. It's the one where the nervous guy thinks the machines are out to get him?
I was thinking about machines.
Yes, okay.
That's terrible, yeah.
And number one worst episode is Here Comes Cavender.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good list. Very good list.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess I'll give mine now. And I'll do the worst first, and then I will do the... Well, first of all, I'm going to give my best actors and actresses. I'm going to do everything different. Best actors.
You're a rebel, Lynn. A rebel.
I'm a rebel. I'm a rebel, and I've never been any good. Burgess Meredith. Definitely. He was in 4 episodes of Twilight Zone. He's fabulous. Jack Klugman and William Shatner are, to me, the 3 best actors of the series. Honorable mention, I'm going to give to Jack Warden, Claude Akins, Cyril Delavante, because I think he's just terrific. He was in The Piano. He played the butler. He was in the one with Dick York. What was that one? Penny for Your Thoughts.
Penny for Your Thoughts.
Yeah, he played the one that that he thought was going to steal from the bank. He was in The Silence. He was the butler. He played a lot of bit parts. I think Cyril Delavante was a wonderful actor. He's also in Passage on Lady Anne. And Oscar Beregi. I think a wonderful actor. He was in the Rip Van Winkle Caper. He was also in Death Head Revisited. Best actresses. My favorite, I have to go with Gladys Cooper. I just love Gladys Cooper. I would watch anything that woman was in. I think she was fabulous. She was in Nothing in the Dark with Robert Redford. She was in Passage on Lady Anne. She was also on Night Call, the woman who was getting the call from her dead fiancé. I think she's fabulous. And Inger Stevens and Agnes Moorehead, definitely. So they're the top 3. Honorable mention, Susan Oliver, Elizabeth Montgomery, and Frances. All fabulous actors and actresses. As far as the top 5 worst, number 5, The Bard. Absolutely horrible. Should be called The Barf, because that's what you want to do when you watch it.
Yeah, barf. 4 worse than that? Oh, this is going to be interesting, Lynn.
The Big Tall Wish.
Mm.
I hate The Big Tall Wish. I think that's stupid. It should never have been a part of the series. It should have been a Lifetime Channel story. It should have been a Hallmark Channel story. It was a stupid, stupid episode to put in the series. Number 3, Once Upon a Time. I don't know how in God's name this atrocious piece of cat puke got into the series, but it's putrid, vile crap. Absolutely horrible. Buster Keaton.
Don't hold back.
I refuse to hold back now. I don't want to say how I really feel. absolutely awful. A silent episode. Please spare me on that one. Number 2, King 9 will not return. Thank God that it won't return. It was excruciating enough the first time. Absolutely horrible. And number 1, I don't think anybody
Lynn, I got to shake out the sand out my slipper there.
Sand out of your shoe? I don't think anybody has to wonder what number 1 is. Come wander with me.
Oh, my.
The worst piece of shit I've ever seen on a TV screen. Garbage with a capital G. Capital G. And a story that makes no sense whatsoever. Absolutely the worst crap. Come wander with me. Garbage. And just major cat puke. Okay. Now we're going to go to the 10 best. Very classic. Very, very, very classic episode. Okay. Number 10. Eye of the Beholder. Definitely classic. Very memorable. Wonderful ending. The Hitchhiker. Classic zone with chills, eerie twists and turns. Another fantastic ending. Inger Stevens was wonderful. and the guy who played the hitchhiker. He wasn't all that scary, but yet he, in a way, he was disturbing. So it was a great
going
episode.
My way.
Going my way. Yeah, I love it. Number eight, very The much, Howling Man.
I was gonna say very much Psycho reminds you of Psycho.
Oh yeah. Number eight, The Howling Man. Spooky atmosphere, spooky monks, spooky prisoner, great ending. Love The Howling Man. Number seven, The Shelter. Another good one from beginning to end. Great cast, great acting. Wonderful episode. Number six, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. And I don't think you can even think of The Twilight Zone without thinking about The Gremlin on the Wing. It was a crappy suit that he wore, but it was a great episode. Number five, Walking Distance. Supposedly, this was Rod Serling's favorite episode of the series. And I thought it was a pretty good episode. I really enjoyed it very much. I thought Gabe Young was great. I thought all of the acting was wonderful. And it was a very zone-ish episode, and I liked it very much. Number four, Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. What can you say about this one? The cast of characters in this one is priceless. The ending is priceless. Love it. Could watch it a million times. Number three, It's a Good Life. This is a winner from the first scene to the last. One scary kid and a bunch of really scared family members and neighbors and friends, and it was an unbelievable episode. Just chilling from beginning to end. Number two, A Stop at Willoughby. I can never get enough of this one. After Henry Bemis, I think I feel most sorry for Gart Williams. I just love this episode where he's on the train, he falls asleep, he sees this other life outside. The conductor comes down and says, "Willoughby? That's Willoughby right outside, sir." And then at the end, he gets off for good. He jumps to his death, but he's in a better place, it seems. And number one, there's no other, Time Enough at Last. For me, in my opinion, this will always be the greatest Twilight Zone episode of all time. And Burgess Meredith, he was phenomenal in it. The story was phenomenal. Burgess was in, I think it was four episodes. It might have been five. Well, four episodes. I know he was in Time Enough at Last. Mr. Zingle the Strong, The Obsolete Man, Critters Devil. Okay, he was in four. And let's see, who was in? Jack Klugman, he was in five episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, those are my top ten. And I just love this series. It's my favorite series of all time. And I've loved doing this show for the past 6 years. And I've loved everyone that has done it with me and has been on the show. And I'm going to miss you guys. I really am. I'm going to miss the show, and I'm going to miss you guys a lot. So that's
Time to go to Willoughby.
Next up, Willoughby.
Well, the only thing I want to say is that thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of my toes and the bottom of my heart, for all of you just being here for every show or most of the shows, contributing and being, I guess, I'm just trying to say the best group of hosts, co-hosts that somebody could work with. And I love all you guys. Robert, Dave, Rick. Oh, yeah, and you too, Bobby. you guys are wonderful. I have loved you all. And thank you for making this a terrific six-year show. And maybe later down the road, we'll do another one. I know that Robert was talking about, starting up another show maybe sometime in the fall. And I'll think about it.
I've been thinking about some ideas bubbling in my head at work.
For Night Gallery and stuff like that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later on. And I may be up for that. But in the meantime, folks, thank you. And it's been a pleasure for 6 years.
Thank you,
Lynn.
Thank you,
Lynn. Thank you, Bobby.
Bye.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bye.
Take care of yourselves. Have a great rest of the weekend. And I hope to see you soon. And I'll stay in touch with you guys, I promise.
Hello, I must be going. I cannot stay. I must be going.
Thanks for the memories.
This is the end, my friends. The
end. All right, guys. Take care. See you soon.
Bye.
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 Thank you and good night.